This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the show. Joe Zagacki, flying solo. Trevor Harris is our producer. Got a great lineup for you coming up. West Durbin, one moment. Wicho Hernandez, former Hurricane infielder, joins us. We'll talk about Miami Hurricanes baseball. We'll have the game for you tomorrow against FIU on ACC Network Extra. Canes have won 10 in a row inside the ACC. And then from our post-game show and Locked On Canes, Alex Dono joins us a little bit later on to talk about the transfer portal. But we begin tonight's show. Always excited to have with us. Let's see, he's the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. He's the voice of the ACC. He is on ACC Network. He is on ESPN. He's on satellite radio. He is everywhere. Wes Durham is with us. And Wes, always great to have you with us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Joe. Nice to be with you. Happy May.
Yeah, we're coming down the home stretch. It's almost time for vacation.
Yeah, it's almost time for vacation, and whatever the off season is nowadays, I guess it's time for that too, right?
Yeah, there's not much of an off season. No. Hey, let me start this way. I was going to jump in with a football question, but I'm going to lump football and Miami basketball together in this question.
Okay.
Will the Hurricanes in football and basketball be the most compelling programs going into next year?
I think in football, they certainly will be. I think Clemson is going to be the favorite, but I think Miami's clearly in the mix after last year. And despite, you know, losing Cam Ward and some other talented guys, I think you've got a really good football team. And I'm excited to see kind of how Carson Beck morphs into what they want to do, what Shannon wants to do offensively. So, yeah, I think Miami will be the most compelling story in football for sure. I think NC State's going to end up being the most compelling basketball story. I think Will Wade is you know, gone in and done the major operation in the portal, and there's a report that potentially he could get P.J. Haggerty to transfer from Memphis, and if that happens, then he's going to have completely redone a full renovation of the house that Kevin Keats built, if you will. And it's going to have happened in about 100 days, and it's going to be really interesting to see what NC State looks like. And if they get Haggerty, I think, Joe, unfortunately, they're going to be the most compelling basketball story. But I will say this. I think the four coaches are going to be the story of the ACC in a subset, because I think they're all very different. I think they're all are very applicable to where their institutions are. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how these guys go in year one at their respective schools.
Yeah, you and I, we talked about it somewhere along the line. Maybe it was at Carolina. Miami, by the way, has a completely new roster also. Not one player back from last year.
That's right.
And we were of the I think we were talking with Dan Bonner that the ACC, the teams that were looking for coaches, Miami, Florida State, NC State, Florida State, Virginia, I don't know if I'd left anyone out, had to get it right. Did they get it right?
I think so. I think NC State and Virginia hired guys that have been at VCU, which is it's a fascinating tie to me. And then I thought that Jay Lucas was a terrific hire by Miami. It was probably one that folks might have been surprised at if they don't follow basketball, but he's more than ready. I think Jay's going to do a terrific job. I like the staff he's built. Certainly, I'm very fond, as you know, of Charlton Young, because I worked with him when he was at Georgia Tech years ago, and he and I've stayed in touch. I think he's a terrific coach, and he's from Carroll City, so he gets a homecoming for sure there. But I am excited to see kind of what Jay can do at running his own ship. I thought he did a terrific, terrific job, Joe, as John Shire's guy. I really did. I was much impressed with the way he not only handled that role, but also the communicative needs he had with the players, things of that nature. I just thought he was a terrific, terrific assistant, and I'm excited to see him as the head coach. I think Luke Laux will be interesting only because of the tie to Florida State and his NBA pedigree. Kind of watching to see who he's put together from a staff perspective and kind of where they're going to be, you know, from a roster standpoint. I think that'll be interesting once things calm down here a little bit. But of the four, I think NC State and Miami are going to have the most expectation, if you will. I think that Virginia and Florida State, there's going to be some wait and see once we get to, you know, November, maybe early December, 3 weeks into the campaign type thing.
Wes Durham is our guest. Wes just completed some great work on ACC Huddle on ACC Network with spring football previews. I think that's in lieu of the spring game. We have the previews now, which is better. I think the spring games are all going to disappear, but that's another story. Great work on the ACC Huddle. As you zeroed in on Miami, you guys had a great question, which was, I think you brought it up. Is the Miami offense under Shannon Dawson going to be the 2023 playbook or the 2024 playbook? Because Carson Beck looks a little bit like Van Dyke. And last year, you know, they had Cam Ward. So which playbook does he go with?
I think it's the Van Dyke playbook, personally. Now, Shannon, you know, can prove me wrong. And Mario may tell me I'm crazy next week when he sees me at Amelia Island. But I just think Carson Beck and Tyler Van Dyke are more the same quarterback. Cam Ward's a 1-on-1 to me. Joe. I mean, I think I told you that during basketball season. I never saw Miami last year in person. I just think Cam Ward is wired to win, and he's got a great athletic skill set, and he can do more things than people realize. I think that's why the Titans made him the first pick in the draft, to be honest with you. I think he, of this quarterback class, he has the biggest upside, and it's not even close in my book. But I think that Beck and Van Dyke are more the same. I also think without doing a real deep dive on your depth and some of your skill rotation, it feels like some of the skill stuff on offense sets up for Beck like it did for Van Dyke, tight end, wide receivers, a little depth at running back type thing. And again, I know the portal influence has occurred, but at the same time, I think your defense has got a chance to rebound. And I think Reuben Bain's one of the best players in the country. I told you that a couple of years ago, and I haven't changed my mind. But I think this is an offense that's going to probably, if I'm guessing, and I could be wrong. I mean, I haven't seen Beck throw a ball for Miami. I would be interested to see where Miami falls, because I think they might be pretty good defensively. And then Beck, you know, if you can run the ball, I think that is a huge bonus for him. Last year when he struggled, it was because Georgia couldn't run the ball. I don't think that's going to be an issue with Miami this year.
Well, it makes two of us that haven't seen him throw in Miami.
I think we're on a long list, don't you? A pretty distinguished one, probably.
It is funny, though. You guys mentioned Jordan Lyle, and I've been asking the question here. I asked it to our pregame guys. Well, who do you think they build the offense around? Carson Beck or Mark Fletcher? And kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, you had Jalen Hurts and
Saquon
Barkley. So yeah. Who are they going to build the offense here around? Fletcher? Because it's his third year. We don't get many guys here for 3 years, and he is a stud.
Yep. Yeah, and I think EJ is the one that brought up Jordan Lyle, and I think that's a really good question. I think there's so many different variables, and that's probably what I like about Miami, to be honest with you, Joe, is the variable factor you've got there. I think that when you start looking at how, you know, Miami is set up, it's really curious from that standpoint, because, you know, you look at just the way kind of the team is put together here. I mean, you've got just about everything you need. You know, I mean, in the way of certainly you've got a success opportunity from a you know, from a depth standpoint, but you're going to have a scheduling opportunity. You're going to play a big game to start the year. I think that's huge. You know, all that stuff comes into play. And that's one of the things I think it takes to be, you know, kind of today's national champion. And I think Miami certainly has, you know, all the ingredients, I think, to be one of those teams that could factor into it. But you got to win the games. I mean, and, you know, and as Miami fans know more than any, the Canes have got to run it all the way through the tape. You just can't do it, you know, in kind of a soft approach. But I think, remember, too, now, A.J. Allen missed all of last year. Was that right, Joe?
Well, A.J. Allen transferred to FIU.
Oh, he transferred. Okay. Yeah. The roster I've got, he didn't have. And, again, these rosters are hard to do when you find stuff like that. But I think the other guy that, you know, when I look
at the Well, they just picked up a running back in the portal. They were one running back short. Okay. Now they got a running back, I think, from North Dakota State. But I'm kind of with you. I sort of wait to analyze the roster now until, like, June.
Yeah, exactly. I do know, as I understand it, the tight end, the Lofton kid, is that right, Elijah Lofton?
Oh, yeah. He's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I think that's a guy that you could – and, again, that's why I draw the comparison to where Van Dyke was a couple of years ago. If Beck can run the ball – and, again, I go back to what I saw at Georgia a year ago. 2 years ago, Georgia ran the ball great. Last year, not so much. And the pressure on Beck was a little more intense, and he didn't post – although he got injured, you know, he probably may have posted some numbers that were similar to last year. I think he was just short by a couple hundred yards passing. But, look, he's a talented guy. I think you're going to be pretty good on defense. I mean, Mezador, Bain, I mean, you know, you got guys that are household brands. I think Wesley Bissain is a guy that I thought made a lot of plays for you a year ago defensively. That's a guy I'd be excited about. And then O.J. Frederick obviously was a terrific freshman corner a season ago, too.
I've said this a million times when I get asked about the quarterback at the University of Miami, and I always say the same thing. If you're going to play quarterback at the University of Miami, probably like Notre Dame or playing at Alabama, it's a 24-hour a day, 7 day, 365 days a year job. And some guys embrace it, some don't, because you're going to be highly watched in South Florida, just like Tua is with the Dolphins, right? And Cam Ward came in here and accepted that challenge. He understood the responsibility. He goes number one. EJ Manuel had one of the great lines I've heard when he said, more guys should look at Cam Ward. He locked in for 6 months and changed his life. And I would add to that, he locked in for 6 months, changed his life, and by going number one in the draft, I wonder how much he changed the University of Miami program.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it's, you know, he could be, you know, not to probably create a little hyperbole here, but you start thinking about his impact in 1 year. Had you been able to get to the CFP and contend for the national championship, you could stack it up with like a 1 year Bernie Kosar type thing, right? Yeah. It comes at opposite ends chronologically from Miami's success, but I think Ward's that kind of special talent. I had a chance, and it was funny, I shared this with somebody last July, that I watched the FCS playoffs, and that stuff goes on in December, Joe, because I went to an FCS school, as you know. I just tend to watch those playoffs more, right? And I watched Incarnate Word play Sacramento State with Cam Ward a few years ago, and it was an out-of-sight game. It's just out-of-sight. And then he goes to Washington State and does nothing to disappoint that reputation, right? He is, he's spectacular for a team that can't tackle you and me. And then I thought when he came to Miami last year that he had a chance to be really, really good. And sure enough, he was. I mean, he was just really special. And I think he's got a chance. You know, as much as I can process guys from the college to the NFL level sometimes, I think he's got a – he's got an above-average opportunity to be a really good player in the National Football League.
I like those playoffs as well because they're always playing in some crazy mountain place on a Friday night when it's 15 below zero.
Yeah, I went to Fargo about 3 years ago to do a playoff game there, and it's one of my top five football experiences as a broadcaster. And I really want to go to Montana, to be honest with you. I've heard all these things about playing in Missoula and doing a game outdoors at Missoula, or even going to Brookings, South Dakota, apparently is terrific too, where South Dakota is. They've won an FCS title. So yeah, the FCS model, it is not the same type of game, but it is just as compelling and dramatic as postseason major college football for sure.
Let me ask you this. We only have a couple minutes to go.
Okay.
A broader version of college football. I heard this one the other day. Has college football been hijacked by the Big Ten and the SEC? 150 players from those two conferences were drafted. That's like 200 guys, 225 guys get drafted or whatever it is. Over 100 were drafted from two conferences.
Yeah. I don't know. It may just be a one-year blip in the deal. There are always trends and things you can pull from every draft in the NFL. Certainly the SEC and the Big Ten have had a pretty good run the last couple of years from national championship perspective and things like that. And the SEC certainly before the Big Ten's won the last two. I would like to say that I think there are, I mean, I'm of the belief in, as it relates to the draft and guys, you know, creating a career in professional football, I think they can play anywhere and still be found. I just think the processing is that good of the scouts, right? But it does help when you play for teams that are successful against good competition. I think we've seen some ACC guys. I put Cam on that list because he was taken. I put Marion Hampton on that list. Donovan Azarocu, who we've all seen at BC, who was a terrific player. The ACC just did not have as many first-round potential draft picks this year, even from the jump. I mean, even from, you know, like early January, it didn't feel like there were going to be that many. But you know, sometimes this thing is cyclical, Joe. So I'd like to see maybe another 2-3 years of it and then, you know, come back and let's look at the ratios each year and maybe kind of either add to or take away from the statement you made.
What in good God's name is going on with Bill Belichick?
Oh, God. I the only thing I can tell you is I have watched to see Mike Lombardi was on with Mark Packer yesterday on ACCPM.
Yeah.
I would say this. Carolina wants to play football. That's what Carolina wants to do. All the other things that are going on now from a media, and it's hard to use the term media perspective with what happened there, but in my mind, Carolina's job is to get this thing to football. It's May the 6th, Joe, and we're talking about this. This is a time when college football, as we were just saying, that the top needs to be really quiet, right? And so for me, I think Carolina has some unwanted storylines at this juncture. The guy is a very good football coach. He's there to take North Carolina to places it hasn't been in football, or at least that's the plan. And right now, I'm more concerned. If I'm a Carolina fan, I'm more concerned about the quarterback than I am the coach's personal life and all the things that are taking place. But this is the kind of thing that happens when you do something like this, Joe. You know that, and I know that, right? I mean, the focus is white hot on this thing. And Carolina is going to be a story all the way to kickoff because Bill Belichick's going to coach college football for the first time ever. So, you know, and he's the head coach of a program that has not won an ACC championship in 44 years. So it's that kind of dynamic that brings us kind of attention. Now, in terms of the book and all the other things that go on, I think people in Chapel Hill and people around Carolina just want football to get going. And the problem is it's May the 6th and they've still got, you know, we got a good ways to go before that happens.
Yeah, I'll leave you with this or ask you this. The guys in Vegas say 8.5 is the over-under for Miami, who plays Notre Dame, Florida, FSU, Louisville. Those would be probably the top named teams on the schedule. 8.5, probably not going to be where Miami wants to go.
No. Miami, I think we talked about that briefly on the Huddle Show last week. Miami wants to live in double figures. That's the bottom line. And my guess is that's what Miami's plan is. If they win double figure games against that schedule, and I think I said this on the show last week, I think Miami is capable of being one of these teams that if they were to slip, they're not out because of the strength of the schedule, Joe. I'd have to look at it in comparison to some other schools. But for me, it just feels like Miami might be one of those teams that's in that kind of neighborhood. And if so, that's good. But you still don't want to give anybody a swing on the house if you take an L, for sure.
Yeah. Wes, always appreciate you. Are you doing well? Let's see. What time is the radio show?
Radio show is on hiatus right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I got some other projects. I got other projects going now. I'm doing, the ACC Huddle. You saw that last week. I did 9 of those 17 shows. And I'm going to be at Amelia Island first the next week at the spring meetings. We're doing some long-form content. Actually going to sit down with Jay Lucas next week in Amelia Island to talk about transitioning to be a head coach. And trying to visit with all 4 new basketball coaches. We're going to try and talk to Pat Kelsey and Rhett Lashley for some programming in the offseason that might lead up to football and basketball respectively. And then I'm off to the PGA next week, Joe, for ESPN Plus. So,
wow, look at you.
Yeah.
Did you play in that Peach Bowl tournament a couple weeks ago?
I did. I was in the Peach Bowl event. I was not a participant in the actual event. I played with some sponsors on Monday, which was nice, and they've been kind to include Vicky and me down there for several years, and it's nice of them. But yeah, it's a good event, and people have a good time with it. And man, Mike Norvell and Urban Meyer put it together again to win the challenge. So you got to figure out a way to break up this Florida State thing that's going on.
Yeah, how about that? I didn't know Norvell was such a good golfer.
He's a pretty good. He can hit the tee ball a long way, man.
Yeah.
He's got the long drive thing worked out pretty good, and no surprise to anybody when you get these guys on the golf course, Joe, and you know this from being around them. Some of their characteristics of coaching starts to show up on the golf course, and no surprise, Urban Meyer's a grinder, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the least surprising statement anybody would ever make about Urban Meyer on the golf course, don't you think? That he's a grinder.
Probably pay more attention to his golf and coaching when he was in Jacksonville.
Wow. Okay. Good job. You did that without Don helping you. That was really good.
I did. How about that? Yeah. How about that? Well, we're going to be on hiatus here starting Memorial Day, but we'll be back in August. So we'll hit you up in August for a conference preview.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you in the lobby of the Hilton at the ACC kickoff. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Wes.
Take care, Joe. Be well.
All right, that's Wes Durham of the ACC Network. If Wes lived here, which he doesn't, but if he did, and it was he needed a vehicle, I would immediately send him to Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, which was founded over 50 years ago. And the reason I would send him there is simple, because I know that when he would walk in there, they would treat him like family. They would treat him like a friend. They would treat him like a neighbor. Even if you're going in there for the first time, you're going to walk in there, you're going to look around and go, wow. I have put my eyeballs back in. First of all, there are so many beautiful vehicles. And secondly, they're going to treat you so wonderfully. And that's what would happen if Wes walked in there or anybody else that I might send into Williamson Cadillac, because customers are their number one priority. Now, if you want to enjoy world-class customer service and then purchase a new Cadillac, the place to go, Williamson Cadillac. And every single day, new Cadillacs are arriving. Williamson Cadillac, easy to find on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Also online, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show as we continue on. Time now to turn our attention to University of Miami Baseball. And joining me now, my broadcast partner on ACC Network Extra and the ESPN app, former Hurricanes infielder Wicho Hernandez. And Hurricanes are coming off we'll call it a 2-game sweep of North Carolina State tomorrow at home against FIU. But Wicho, going into Sunday's game, Hurricanes had won 10 in a row. That's where it stands. But Sunday's game was eventually postponed because of rain, with Miami leading 2-0. But they are playing their best baseball, not only of this season, but of the last couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. This is the best version of this Hurricane baseball program we've seen in the last few years. They've really had a historical turnaround. What they've done since the end of March to now has just been incredible. And as you mentioned, they win two this weekend against NC State, which is a big victory for them, because NC State coming in was ranked 13th. They were number one in the ACC. They still left the weekend in the top of the standings because that Sunday game, as you mentioned, was canceled, unfortunately, since the Canes were up 2-0. But, you know, what that staff has done with this program and those players this year has really just been something remarkable.
You talk about finding a player to put a team on his shoulders, and the epitome of that this season has been Daniel Cuvée. His last 10 games, he's hitting almost .600. He's been incredible. What have you seen in his approach that has allowed him to catch fire?
I think two things come to mind. The first one, it's not necessarily his approach, but he's having fun. Joe, I mean, if you're around this kid over the last month of the season, you're seeing a kid that's having a lot of fun out there. So I think with anything you do in life, whether it's sports or not sports, you got to really enjoy what you're doing. And it looks like he's having fun out there. Second part of it is, I thought early in the year he was very, very, very aggressive at the plate, swung at a lot of pitches out of the zone, put himself in 0-2, 1-2 counts. It seems like every at-bat right away. Since then, he's really been much more selective at the plate. So he's still aggressive, but he's really laying off those pitches that early in the season were outside the zone and he was swinging at them. So now you're seeing him a lot more 2-0 counts, 2-1 counts. And even when he swings first pitch on some of these at-bats, he's swinging at pitches that are in the zone and having a lot of success. So he's as good as anyone in the country right now.
J.D. Arteaga and Laz Gutierrez made some critical moves in the pitching staff, some by injury, some probably based on what they were seeing. But A.J. Siskar pitched a gem on Saturday night. Darius was pitching well on Sunday before the game was postponed. The two freshmen have gone into the rotation on Saturday and Sunday. They've really brought stability to the rotation. And Brian Walters in the bullpen as a closer has been lights out.
Yeah, when you look at the success Miami's had over the last month, and it goes back to almost when Coach Morris was coaching here, they found a way to shorten the game. So it starts with the two moves, as you mentioned, the freshmen on Saturday and Sunday. They've done a great job. If you watch their starts, they're going 5 or 6 innings each of their starts. This week, and Siskar did a great job on Saturday. I think he pitched 6 2/3. And as you mentioned, Darius was off to a great start. He had, I think, gave up one hit over 3 innings on Sunday. But they found a way to shorten the game on the back end. Walters has been just absolutely lights out to close the game. So you've seen him go 2 innings. You've seen him close games 1 inning. But that makes your game now a 6 or 7 inning game. And Fisher, who they really had high hopes for when the season started, has found his way here at Miami now. I mean, he's been really good in the setup role. And don't forget Will Smith, who's really been great as well. So for Coach Arteaga and the rest of the coaches, they've really found a little bit of magic when it comes to that rotation. And it's really helped the back end of the bullpen as well.
They have this odd record where Miami has won more games when they've made more errors than the opponent this season. That being said, they're playing with two center fielders right now, Torres in center, Peralta in right. And again, that kind of because of an injury situation. But overall, their defense has been much better.
Yeah, no doubt. A couple things there. You mentioned the first one, the two center fielders playing at one time is great because you cover a ton of ground out there. So that works well. But, you know, on the infield, I mean, they've turned more double plays as of late than they did in the first half of the season. So when you look at the middle, Dory Gonzalez doing a great job, very steady second baseman. Ogden, you can't say enough about him. I mean, he's done such a great job for this team this year. But defensively, he's as solid as it gets at shortstop. Cuvée's done a great job at third base. And then, you know, don't underestimate the move at first base. Renzo Gonzalez really gives you a ton of range at first base, especially in an era where you're playing the shift so much. I've seen it when they have the shift on and Renzo's basically playing at the second base position, which is incredible considering any ball hit to the left side, he's still got to run the first base and make sure he's there to cover the bag. So I love what they're doing defensively. They've found a nice nine to throw out there. And we didn't mention Smith, but Smith behind the plate's really been as solid as it gets as well.
Over the last month, 14-4. They've won 14 of their last 18, 12 of their last 14, I believe it is. Tomorrow night, we'll be on the call. It's FIU. It's a midweek game. FIU tripped them up again 2 weeks ago. So FIU comes in to the light tomorrow. What do you expect in that game?
I mean, I expect a lot of what we've been seeing. I mean, Miami's been playing some good baseball. And in baseball, any given game, someone could beat, you know, anyone could beat anyone. So the fact that, you know, they lost FIU a couple weeks ago, as much as you don't want to lose games, it happens. That's just baseball. That's the way it works. But I would expect Miami to come back out with the same energy we're seeing over the last month. Hopefully they have success once again and set themselves up for another big ACC weekend. They're on the road next weekend against UVA. They got six games left in the ACC schedule, and they've really put themselves in a position to, you know, they might sneak up. You know, we're talking about, you know, now they're in the five spot, I think, in the standings before, before the weekend play, that they were, you know, somewhere at nine. But a month ago, they were in the bottom of the standings, and now you could argue that they might end up in the top spot. Who knows?
They have six ACC games remaining, and if they have great success in those games, in this new ACC format, they could earn a double bye in the ACC tournament. And they could also, I think, still have a chance to host a regional.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing, Joe. If you finish, you know, first, second, or third, and you have a decent conference tournament, I don't know how you don't see Miami sneak into that top 16. I mean, the ACC is still one of the premium conferences out there. It's SEC and ACC, the ones that, you know, you're always arguing which one's better. But a top one or two or three team in the ACC, the way they're playing, I'm not sure how you keep them out of the top 16 if they finish this. They got to obviously finish the way they've been playing lately. If you go back and you look at, you know, whether it's football or baseball or even basketball, they always say it's how you're playing at the end of the season that really matters most. Well, that bodes well for Miami.
Seven games to go. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow for Miami and FIU.
Thank you, Joe. Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right, that's my broadcast partner, Huicho Hernandez. We'll have the game on TV tomorrow, Miami and FIU, 6 o'clock from the light. We'll have more on our show. Alex Dono joins us next. We'll talk transfer portal. That's coming up right here on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We turn our attention now to University of Miami football, because there is no offseason anymore, as we discussed with West Durham. Alex Dono joining us. Alex, of course, from our post-game show and Locked On Canes. Dono, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Joe, and you're right about there being no offseason, because with the way the transfer portal has been moving and, you know, recruiting is going to ramp up again this summer, college football these days feels a lot more like the NFL in terms of there always being something to follow and something to talk about.
I think spring football starts here very soon for the high schools, if it's not already underway. So that opens up the high
started, yeah.
Yeah, high school recruiting. But the University of Miami has been busy, busy, busy in the transfer portal since spring football has ended. What have they done? Who is gone? Who's coming in?
Yeah, well, since spring football ended, the additions that Miami has made, and it's funny because even though, like, people say, hey, the portal closed on April 25th, all that means is on April 25th, players can no longer enter the portal. They can still take visits and be signed beyond April 25th. This is evidenced by Miami's in the month of May, and they've still been signing players. The most recent additions, Joe, they've added seven already since mid-April when the portal reopened. Jacoby Thomas, a safety out of Tennessee, who, you know, is someone I think can compete for significant playing time. You know, Miami's safety room was not necessarily the deepest, and Miami lost Zaquan Patterson in April. So Jacoby Thomas from Tennessee, who was a rotational guy with the Volunteers the last couple of years, but there was a lot of buzz that he was trending towards a starting job for the Vols. So it's a good get for Miami. Miami landed a linebacker out of NC State, Kamal Bonner, who got significant playing time as a redshirt freshman second half of the year last year and did pretty well. Kamal Bonner, by the way, is related to, he referred to Miami receiver Nai Carr as his cousin. They both went to the same high school in Georgia, Colquitt County, so a little bit of a family reunion for them. Hurricanes added this is one of the players I'm really excited about, Joe, a wide receiver, but he's also an elite kickoff returner out of BYU named Keelan Marion. Now, Keelan Marion did something twice last year that Miami hasn't done in way too long, and that's returned kickoffs for touchdowns. He was an all Big 12 special teams player for last year. He can also play receiver, so he could, you know, play multiple roles at Miami. Miami added a slot receiver who transferred in from Cincinnati in Tony Johnson. Miami added a kicker, Bird Auburn, who played for the Texas Longhorns. I think for the last 4 years, he kicked for the Longhorns. Miami lost a kicker, Abram Murray, in the transfer portal. And so the Hurricanes are trying to figure out the post-Borregales situation, Joe, as we've had, you know, Jose and then Andy kicking for Miami for the last 5 years. It looks like Bird Auburn from Texas is going to be that guy. Another player I'm really excited about who just committed within the last week, running back Chamar Brown out of North Dakota State. Now, North Dakota State, it's an FCS team, but they're like the Alabama Crimson Tide of the FCS. They win, like, every other year they win a championship. They just won a national title this past year, Joe. And Chamar Brown, he goes by Marty, was a big part of that national championship-winning team. He rushed for about 1,200 yards, scored 15 rushing touchdowns, and he was a freshman last year. He was given the Jerry Rice Award, which goes to the most outstanding FCS freshman, which is an award that Cam Ward won about 5 years ago when he was at Incarnate Word. So Miami added another, Jerry Rice Award winner. You know, the rest of the players Miami added were the guys that they added in the winter portal in January and December, who we've talked about before. So other players that Miami lost, Joe, I mentioned Zaquan Patterson and kicker Abram Murray have left the program this spring. Miami also lost Emmanuel Carnley, a cornerback who just transferred. He had just transferred in from Arizona to Miami in January, and he left Miami in April. I guess, you know, he didn't like, you know, however he was trending on the roster. He transferred to UVA, to Virginia. Miami lost a young edge rusher, Elias Rudolph, who hadn't played much here yet. I mentioned Zaquan Patterson, the safety. Miami lost defensive tackle Josh Horton. I think that's all the losses in April. So they brought in, I think, one player more than they lost in April. And I think they brought in some good players, Joe, some of which are maybe going to end up starters here, at the very least compete to start.
They haven't had, you made a good point, they have not had a threat on the kickoff return in a long time. In addition, they've barely been able to catch punts.
Yeah.
They haven't been returned punts, but they've had a hard time catching them. The ball is, in my opinion, has bounced too many times and you lose field position. So I'm hopeful, as you mentioned, that they have now brought in some skilled people or skilled person to handle both punts and kickoffs. They did need an extra running back. I think that most people, when they look at the University of Miami right now in this offseason, as we talk about coming up, and the question will be, what is the biggest storyline? And everybody goes right to, well, it's got to be Carson Beck, and rightfully so. That being said, I'm not so sure the biggest storyline is not the University of Miami defense. Defensive coordinator Corey Heatherman, I don't know if he can wave a magic wand at the University of Miami, but his numbers were very impressive at Minnesota. And if they can put up similar numbers at Miami to what he had at Minnesota, they would be in good shape. In order to do that, though, I still think they probably need another defensive lineman and maybe another linebacker.
Yeah, well, I guess the good news, or at least the tentative good news, would be Miami is still in the mix for another linebacker. There's a linebacker out of Rutgers, and right there you see your Corey Heatherman connection. Mohamed Touré, he's not made his decision yet, Joe. I think Penn State and Miami are probably the two finalists for Touré. He is coming off an ACL injury. He missed the entire 2024 season, but assuming he's recovered, and they're, you know, players usually tend to recover pretty well from that injury nowadays. I know that didn't used to be the case years ago, but in 2023, Mohamed Touré had his best season with Corey Heatherman as his linebackers coach before Heatherman went to Minnesota, as you talked about, as defensive coordinator for 2024, and really turned Minnesota's defense around in 1 year. So Miami is in the mix for a linebacker that played for Heatherman a couple of years ago. A defensive tackle, what's been really tough about this spring portal is defensive tackle tends to be one of those positions where it's really hard to find great players, because not a lot of players leave their programs, at least not in the spring, at that position. So I don't really think Miami's really loved what's been out there. I think there may be a player still out there that would be more of a depth piece, which is okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, even if it's someone who doesn't necessarily come in here and start right away. But the defensive tackle selection has been pretty thin, unfortunately. And, you know, Joe, I think Miami might still add another defensive back, because and I'll say this, this is, if this does go in Miami's direction, Joe, it's probably going to happen like a couple minutes after Hurricane Hotline ends tonight. So you can count this as a prediction I'm making, because Miami seems to be trending towards
crystal balling.
Yeah, I'll give you the crystal ball. So there is a defensive back out of Houston, Keontae Scott, who is he's making his announcement at 7 o'clock tonight, and he's been trending in recent days towards Miami. And Keontae Scott, who actually hadn't played at Houston, he's one of those, he transferred to Houston in the winter and then left Houston in the portal. But it seems like Keontae Scott really wants to play for Zach Etheridge, perhaps, who's Miami's cornerbacks coach now, because he played for Etheridge at Auburn and then, you know, transferred from Auburn to Houston, where Etheridge was last year. And now he's a player that Miami, you know, may or may not get some good news on in a few minutes here. So, you know, when it comes to the defense, yeah, all new coaches except for Jason Taylor on that side of the football, including a new defensive coordinator and a ton of new DBs, Joe. You know, a new linebacker that Miami added within the last week in Kamal Bonner from NC State. And, you know, if nothing else, Miami did add David Blay, who had a really good spring. They added him back in the winter portal.
Yeah,
they like him a lot. Yeah.
I do think we probably, when we get to June, we might be able to make the argument that the roster, the overall roster going into this season, probably is better than, it could be better than last year's roster on paper. And some of that, it obviously, does that equate to more wins this year? Well, we have a situation with Carson Beck that we won't know until he plays, but the guy is the all-time leading passing, the passing percentage leader at Georgia, completed 68% of his passes. I don't think he's going to forget how to complete passes just simply because he didn't play in the spring. I think he's going to complete passes. I think C.J. Daniels is going to catch passes. I think Malachi Toney is going to catch passes. I know they lost Restrepo, but I do think they're going to be able to replace that production.
Yeah, and the other thing is, Joe, I think Miami's going to have more opportunities to rely on their running game. Because one thing that stands out to me last season, Joe, Miami was 6th in the country in yards per carry, but 31st or 32nd in rushing. So there was a disconnect. I think that disconnect was because the defense couldn't stop anybody last year. So Miami was constantly in shootouts, playing from behind. They had to throw the football constantly last year. And obviously, you know, Cam Ward was excellent at doing that, but Miami didn't have an opportunity to really lean into their running game last year. And, you know, assuming the defense is going to be better, and if Miami is actually playing with some leads, they can count on what should be a really good backfield. I mentioned Marty Brown joining the mix and Mark Fletcher and Jordan Lyle. That'll probably be like the top three guys in your rotation this year behind a really good offensive line. So if I'm to assume the defense is better, and like you, I think Carson Beck can have a really good season, but I think Miami will also have the luxury of being able to pound the rock a little bit more this year.
I asked Wes this. It was actually brought up on the ACC network. And the question was, or is, will Shannon Dawson go with the 2023 playbook or the 2024 playbook? Mm. Right? Beck is kind of looks question. A little bit more like Van Dyke. And I don't know. I think, you know, you still have the air raid offense. That's a quarterback-friendly offense. And I could see him maybe running the ball a little bit more. Maybe Beck's got to adjust a little bit more on shorter passes. I think that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, Joe, it's really hard to predict that, since in none of the spring practices we were able to watch was Carson Beck throwing the football. So we'll have probably a better idea, you know, once, you know, quote unquote, fall practice is going to start in probably late July. But once those start, I think we'll maybe have a better idea how that's going to trend.
All right, Locked On Canes. When's the next Locked On Canes show?
Well, if Miami, if Miami does land another transfer tonight, then yeah, we could have another episode in about 5 minutes, literally, Joe. And otherwise, we'll be back at it tomorrow morning, late morning, around 11:30 a.m.
All right, Locked On Canes with Alex Zonno. He's also our post game host. I'd like to mention that as well. That yeah. On our Hurricane Radio Network, we have Donald, who's now becoming an internet sensation with Locked On Canes. The feedback's been good for you?
It's been very good, yeah. And I appreciate any time I can hop on with you or the other Joe Rose. I always appreciate the invite because, the post-game shows hopefully are going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, that's it's always the loneliest job in the world, the post-game host. No one wants that job.
Except me.
Like if you're hosting the post game, let me clarify that. Like for Alabama, Miami, or Notre Dame, because there's no margin for no margin for error. As soon as you lose one, it's shall we say rocky.
I've been there, Joe. I mean, I had to do post game after Middle Tennessee in 2022. I did post game after the Georgia Tech game from a couple years ago. So yeah, I know what rock bottom feels like.
You know, I feel sorry for all you guys that had to do the post game the last 20 years. I just want to remind you, I did the post game after Hail Flurry.
Oh my gosh. You topped me, Joe. I didn't know that. Wow. Painful.
I did the post game after the Fiesta Bowl of 86. Ugh. I did the post game after they blew a 31-0 lead to Maryland.
Oh, my gosh.
So you guys can have some sympathy from me, but not much.
I'll take what I can get. But, yeah, you're right. I can't top Hail Flutie, and I can't top the 86 Fiesta Bowl. I can't.
All right. Always great to have you. You look good, by the way. I can see you on the camera. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Trevor. Talk to you later.
All right. That's Alex Dono. Trevor Harris has been our producer. We're back with the show next Tuesday night, back on May 13th from 6 until 7 p.m. For Trevor Harris, I'm Joe Z. For Dono, Wes Durham, Weecher Hernandez, have a most pleasant evening.
Football coverage on WQAM is sponsored by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger, who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery. So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major